Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to GE T&D India Limited Q4 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Tanvi Gupta from GE T&D. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thanks, Nirav. Good afternoon, everyone. We welcome you to the GE T&D India Limited earnings call for the fourth quarter and financial year ending 31st March 2023. I am Tanvi Gupta from GE T&D India Investor Relationship team. We're delighted to have you all on this call. During the call, we'll discuss the company's financial performance, including operational highlights. We'll share the key updates and address the questions you may have. Before we begin, I would like to highlight some important notes for today's call. Firstly, as you're aware, we have recently declared the results for the fourth quarter of the financial year ended 31st March 2023. The said results are available on our website. Further, we have also prepared an analyst presentation for the quarter, which will be under discussion during this call. The said presentation has been mailed to you. Also, I would like to take a moment to remind everyone that today's discussion may contain few forward-looking statements which are subject to risk and uncertainties. These statements are based on our current expectations, and actual results may differ materially from those expressed or implied. We encourage you to refer to our public filings and disclosures for a comprehensive understanding of the factors that could impact our future performance. With this, now let me introduce the GE T&D India management team available on this call. Firstly, with immense pleasure, I would like to welcome Mr. Sandeep Zanzaria as the new Managing Director and CEO of GE T&D India Limited in today's call. Sandeep brings with him over three decades of experience in the power sector. He joined GE in 2017 as the Regional Commercial Leader for GE Grid Solutions South Asia, where he was responsible for commercial strategy and order intake for the region. Prior to joining GE, he has various roles in commissioning, project management, engineering, as well as commercial and business leadership at GAIL, Areva T&D, Alstom T&D, and Schneider Electric. His exceptional leadership and expertise will undoubtedly steer the company towards continuous growth and success. Besides Deepak, we are also being joined by Mr. Sushil Kumar, CFO of the company, Mr. Abhishek Srivastava, Head Business Operations, Mr. Anshul Madaan, Communications Leader, Ms. Anupriya Garg, Company Secretary of GE T&D India Limited. We'll have a dedicated question and answer round towards the end of the presentation, where you can ask your questions and seek clarification on any topic of interest. Thank you once again for joining us today. Now I'll hand over the call to Sandeep for his opening remarks. Over to you, Sandeep.
Thanks, Tanvi. Thanks to everyone for joining us today. We hope you and your families are healthy and safe. We are currently witnessing a positive trend in India's grid electrification market, supported by the Government of India's emphasis on expanding electricity access and promoting renewable energy. This commitment has propelled the country's electrification efforts, driving significant advancements in this sector. Rising emphasis on clean energy and a collective determination to achieve renewable energy targets set by the Government of India are fueling investments in technological advancements. Furthermore, a growing focus can be seen on integration of smart grid technologies, digital systems, data analytics, and advanced monitoring capabilities, which will ultimately improve grid infrastructure management, enhancing reliability, efficiency, and overall quality of power. Our company's expertise in innovative technologies and services align perfectly with these evolving needs of India's grid electrification sector. As a result, we have been receiving orders from prominent transmission players in both the public and private sector. This is evident from our order growth, which has increased by 58% year-on-year in the fourth quarter of financial year 2022-23, and overall by 26% annually compared to the previous fiscal year. In terms of financial performance, we have achieved improvement in operating profit, both in the fourth quarter and in the fiscal year. This improvement reflects our unwavering commitment to delivering values to our customers and shareholders. By operating leaner and more efficient businesses, we are continuously driving cost optimization and improvement in execution. Furthermore, we are pleased to report a successful reduction of our debt during the fourth quarter of FY22-23, strengthening our financial position and increasing stability. Our CFO Sushil will provide a detailed analysis on these financial numbers later in the call. On the operational front, in the last financial year, we have commissioned number of AIS, the air insulated and the gas insulated substations, along with supplying critical equipments like the 765 kV transformers, reactors for various substation projects for public and private utilities. These initiatives contribute significantly to the reinforcement of Indian transmission infrastructure and meet the growing energy demands. Moreover, we have taken the lead in deploying automation technology not only for India but also for neighboring countries. Our state-of-art automation and digital grid solutions have been widely adopted by utilities, enhancing substations and control centers across the region. Notably, we have secured a significant contract for upgrade and automation of 39 substations in Nepal, including the establishment of 6 master control centers and the replacement of existing control and relay equipments. This project showcases our expertise and dedication to improve the grid efficiency and reliability. Additionally, I am proud to highlight our recent participation in ICRAMA, hosted by EMA, where we had the opportunity to showcase our latest technologies in grid automation, sustainable grid solutions, high voltage equipment, and digital substations. The positive response and feedback received from the industry experts and stakeholders further validate our position in the industry. In conclusion, I would like to express our gratitude for your continued support and confidence in our company. This achievement we have witnessed during financial year 22-23 demonstrates our dedication and strategic focus, and we maintain unwavering determination to enhance our performance in the upcoming year. Thank you, and now I hand over to Abhishek for sharing the operational performance.
So thanks, Sandeep. I will just take you all through some of the key operational highlights or commissionings that we have done in the past quarter. So our pursuit for serving our customer with uninterrupted supplies and making and strengthening the network stronger, we delivered a few very critical substations for our customers. So one of them was a 66 kV gas insulated substation for the city of Delhi for Tata Power Delhi Distribution Limited. So this was one of the critical supplies, and based on the expectation of the customer, we were able to commission it almost ahead of schedule on 31st of March as per the expectation. Equally focused approach even in the neighboring countries. So in Bhutan, we were able to based on the timelines, the stress timelines, commission 220 kV gas insulated substation, which is their first and has a very crucial role in terms of improving the stability of power for the Bhutan capital. Similarly, again, one of critical substations for Delhi Transco, which was a 66 kV GIS substation at Gopalpur, was commissioned on 31st of March. And then adding to the capacity installed base in terms of commissioning of transformers and reactors, so we served and helped our customers like Sterlite, Bhutan, Adani, and JP, wherein almost close to 1200 MV of capacity was added. In addition to that, we had delivered the SCADA system for Odisha utility, which is Tata Power South Odisha Distribution Limited, wherein our project is helping them monitor close to 100 distribution substation, and similarly, additionally, we are working for the other two utility, which is for the Central Odisha and Western Odisha. So I hand over to Sushil to take us forward through the financials.
Thanks, Abhishek, and good afternoon, everyone. In terms of financial performance, first talking about our orders performance. In the quarter four of the financial year, we achieved 8,706 million of orders, which is 58% higher than the fourth quarter order booking in the last financial year. Overall, for the entire financial year 22-23, we booked orders of 27,359 million, representing a 26% growth over the order booking in the last financial year. Key orders that were booked during the quarter four of the financial year mainly included upgradation and automation of 39 substations in Nepal, located across six different locations by Nepal Electricity Authority. Order from a large private transmission company for supply of 765 kV 110 MVAR reactor for substation in Narendra and Pune. An order from Power Grid Corporation of India for supply of 765 kV reactor for their project in Narela. Centralized remote protection substation automation system. Order from various private transmission companies like KEC, Techno and Kalpatru. And 220 kV order gas insulated substation from Sri Electrical and K in India. Moving to the next page on our P&L performance. During the quarter four, we achieved a revenue of 7,031 million, representing a 6.2% growth versus the quarter four in the last financial year. However, there was a significant improvement in terms of operational execution, and our EBITDA improved from a loss of 1,356 million in the last year to 316 million of positive EBITDA in the current financial year, quarter four. And this EBITDA represented about 4.5% of revenue. There was a corresponding improvement in the profit before tax and exceptional item as well. Overall, for the entire financial year, the revenues were at 27,732 million. This represented a 9.5% reduction versus the last earlier financial year. However, again, a significant improvement in terms of EBITDA performance, where we achieved about 4.9% EBITDA for the entire financial year at around 1,355 million. Moving to the next page, where we give details of the breakup of orders, revenue, and backlog. So during the entire financial year, our order booking, as I mentioned, was 27,359 million. Of this, 35% of orders were from the export market, and 65% orders were from the domestic market. Out of the total revenue of 27,732 million, about 30% of revenue came from the export market and 70% revenue from the domestic market. End of the financial year, we had a backlog of around 37,000 million INR, of which 70% were from the private customers, 14% from state utilities, and
16%. Ladies and gentlemen, please stay connected. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience. We have the line for the management reconnected. So you may go ahead.
Yeah, so sorry for the technical disruption. We got disconnected. I talked about the last page on the investor presentation where we have given the details of order, revenue, split by export and domestic market, and order in hand split between the different category of customers. Now we'll open up for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Parishit Kandapal from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, hi. Hi, Sandeep. Congratulations on your elevation as CEO and MD. So my first question is on assuming this leadership role. So what will be your top two, three priorities, given the background that we had a very strong order inflows and order backlog for the period FY17-19, and after that everything has been on a downhill. We have revived our profitability and there has also been a pickup in ordering. So just want your sense over the next couple of years, 2-3 years, given the strong demand, changing energy theme and renewables, so what will be your top 2-3 priorities in terms of growth and profitability?
So thanks, Prashit. And so top 2-3 priorities would be, again, whatever we have achieved in last 1 year in terms of improvement in margin and also reduction of net debt. So one thing would be continuing this effort and then improving this to come to a level which is more sustainable. And also I would put it in a way that it is more like, not like a sinusoidal wave, but we have more consistent results. That would be one thing. Second would be the growth in the orders. Yes, we need to continue that momentum as well, including, as you said, that we have good opportunities which are there because of the renewable and the government's target of achieving the net zero. So apart from that, I think there is a huge opportunity of digitization, which is also going to be playing a key role and introducing few technologies which are available globally, but also at least initially to start with position ourselves in the market as a technology differentiator and then build upon that. So I would put this apart from the key two things. One would be maintaining the EHS, which is like one of the most important things for us. And then second, also to keep on working for the talent upgradation and also for the upskilling of the people, because the way technology is changing, we also need to keep on changing much faster as the market expectation is also growing faster and faster.
Okay. My second question is on this scale of revenues currently at 700, right? We have been averaging last three quarters at 700, so which is kind of a break even if I look at the PBT level. If the profitability has to be improved and the gross margins at around 30%, so we need to ramp up this to almost 1,000 crores to really have some meaningful profit. So given that our order book has been gradually ramping up and it's at about 870 crores of inflow this quarter, so when do you think this journey, this gap of like growing from here on, can we reach that number of 1,000 crores kind of a quarterly inflow or revenue?
Thanks, Prakshit. This is Sushil. As you rightly mentioned, the order booking last couple of quarter has picked up. We are on an average in last 6 months close to an average of 8,000 million of order booking. And our endeavor is to grow it further. And also you would notice that one of the endeavor is to, as you earlier highlighted, was to be selective and win more profitable orders, as well as to grow volume from the export segment. As this momentum continues, we also intend to increase the order booking further, continuing the themes of better profitability and mix that I talked about. Reaching a revenue of 1,000 crore candidly will be a bit kind of take time, because we don't just want to achieve a revenue which does not actually result into a profitability in the P&L. But endeavor is to definitely keep growing from here on.
Okay. And just Sushil, one more thing on this. Typically, like in this business, so we cater like the segmentation which we give. So if you can give some more clarity, like are we present in segments like railways, industrials, and so utilities is a large segment, but within that, like railways and transport, industrial segments, so in terms of product portfolio, so what kind of opportunity do we have at play at railways, like Vande Bharat, the kind of opportunities in the transportation segment? So do we have the product line like traction transformers there, or so how do we play that segment?
So, yeah, Prashant, so we are not, Sandeep here, so we are not present into that segment, the transportation segment, but we are definitely present into the industrial segment. For example, few of the orders what we have taken are from refineries, also from data center. So in the industrial segment, we are present, but not in the transportation.
And just lastly on this the channel, we give support bit to some of the players like KC Kalpatru and the big bit for utilities like Power Grid and all. So what could be, they have received very strong orders this year in domestic T&D space, but I don't think that is getting still reflected in our numbers, though we may have given some bits. So is there outside the already announced order book, is there any significant large L1s which is sitting out and yet to be concluded?
No. Presently, we are not having any large L1 positions where the orders are yet to be concluded on us. So,
and just on the Leh-Ladakh, there were some players who were doing the feasibility study. So, are we going to bid for that HVDC line? Are we doing some studies there? How do we intend to tackle that and participate in that program?
So, you know, we have basically about in next 2 to 3 years, we have, as per the Government of India, we have approximately 4 projects which are going to come up. So, Babla Fatehpuri, which is LCC, which is exactly similar to what Champa Krukshetra, then Leh Ladakh, which is a VSC project, and then we have Khavda Kola and Barmer Jabalpur. So I think we are closely monitoring the situation because, you know, all the projects will be getting executed practically in the similar timelines. So we would be targeting on specific opportunities, and then we would be bidding and then winning those opportunities rather than spreading ourselves thin on everything.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Shubhadeep Mitra from Nuvama Wealth. Please go ahead.
Good evening and thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is, you know, on the back of the previous question on the HVDC market size, what we understand from, you know, recent communication that came from Power Grid as well is that one of those lines is actually being rethought. I think the Khavda line is actually being rethought and may fall out of the HVDC basket. Do you see that in any manner, you know, hitting the overall addressable market for you? Because it might still remain high voltage, but just not on the DC side.
But in the last transmission committee minutes, what I've seen is that the Khavda-Kola project has been cleared by the transmission committee, and of course, we are also discussing on that project with CA and all. So at least I am expecting that not to drop off, because eventually when Khavda becomes a 30 gigawatt project, the evacuation of power will be very critical. So HVDC remains a key.
Understood. And if I have to, you know, look at the Leh-Ladakh line, what we understand is, you know, there are some project studies going on over there, but maybe GETMB is not part of it. Are there any product gaps because of which, you know, we are not part of the Leh-Ladakh site study or something of that sort?
So that's a business strategy. I think we focus, as Sushil said, that the part of being selectivity. So there are certain projects which we target, certain projects which because of we do a risk analysis and then we decide whether to participate or not to participate. I think probably you would have seen that globally G-Grid Solutions have won a 10 billion VSC project, number of projects totaling to about 10 billion in Europe. So VSC technology is not a challenge for us, but then we look at the overall risk perception of the project and then take a decision.
Understood. Secondly, with regard to the high voltage, you know, TAM out there, so while the HVDC part of the TAM is quite visible, X of HVDC, how would you, you know, look at the addressable market, let's say over the next 2 to 3 years, and let's say what could be your target market share there?
So I would say that, of course, definitely, you know, the target market remains, the TBCB remains the large part of the market. And yes, definitely, So certain places it would be a product target and certain places it would be a project target. So depending upon the channel to the market, that's where we take the decision. And eventually in TBCB, who wins the bid, and then we decide whether to go on a project route or on a product route along with the collaboration of the EPC player. So that is basically a constantly moving strategy which keeps on changing depending upon the winner of a TBCB bid.
Understood. I mean, what I was trying to shoot for is, you know, I think we're all aware that of the overall 240,000 crore kind of capex number in transmission, which CEA talks about. Just trying to get a sense of within that 240,000 crores, if one has to look at the addressable market for you, how would you look at that market, you know, panning out, let's say, on an annual basis, and, you know, any estimated market share on that?
Out of that 40,000 crore, probably what I would look at that market relevant to us would be less than 20,000 crores. I think it would be in the range of close to about 15,000 crore, because when CA talks about 40,000 crore, that will include transmission lines and other aspects of the project as well. So for us, the addressable market out of that 40,000 crore will be slightly lesser than 15,000 crores.
So this is overall 15,000 crores spread over a period of maybe 4 or 5 years. Did I understand that correctly?
No, no, no. What basically I'm saying, out of the 40,000 crores, what you were saying, but close to about our assessment, what we do for the total market addressable for, of course, is close to about $3 billion, which is close to about 25,000 crore annually.
Understood. So 25,000 crore annually is the number that we're looking at.
Yeah.
Understood. Perfect. Thank you so much for answering my question.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, sir. And congratulations on the appointment as CEO. So my question is, the first question is, do we have the capability to take up more than one HVDC project at a time? And how much localization we have done in this country for HVDC?
So, Mohit, thanks for your compliment. And see, this will also depend upon that what is the time frame which the HVDC project execution is being demanded for. So I'm just giving an example that if suppose there are two projects which have to run in like a 36 or a 40-month schedule, maybe two projects might not be possible. But if the timelines are extended, and then there might be a possibility to do that. If I really look at the localization part, you know, GTND was the first one in the country to have supplied the 800 kV HVDC transformer. So the complete transformers are manufactured at our Vadodara plant. Also, if you really look at other aspects of it, there are certain components, of course, which are like based, like for example, it might be a valve cooling systems and to some extent certain technologies of bushings, etc., which come from outside. But otherwise, if a ballpark number, if I have to put in, it would be close to about maybe about 40 to 50% depending on the composition of the project, is what is localized.
Understood, sir. My second question is, sir, of course, we are the energy transition and renewables will become higher and higher in the proportion in the grid. But do you think there's a gap in any the product portfolio? Do you think we need to bring some of the product from maybe Europe to the India to meet the demands of Indian market and the product which are maybe may not be localized and would like to localize?
So, Mohit, just to update, I think probably whatever is manufactured in Europe for GE grid solution, except with the exception of one or two products, of course, where the global requirement is so small that it needs a justification only to have globally one factory or two factories. Everything is manufactured by GE T&D in India. So, for example, if it's transformers, instrument transformers, GIS, control relay panels, relay, circuit breakers, gas insulated switchgear. Everything what is manufactured globally is manufactured in India. So if I really look at the footprint point of view, we are close to maybe about more than 95% of the footprint which gets manufactured in India. Of course, into this there are certain products which, for example, today have a demand more in Europe, like G-Cube and all. Today the demand is not there, and we are in discussion with a lot of customers to promote G-Cube. I think once the acceptability of that product will start, then we have a full-fledged factory. It is only adding a product line, so it's not requiring any major investment in terms of that. So, if that answers your question.
It does, sir. My third question, what kind of products do you have in the industrial segment, especially on the refineries and data centers, or something you can just elaborate, you know? Is it primarily related to electrification, or is there something else
It is primarily related to transmission side only. Like, for example, we have transformers, we have circuit breakers and control relay panels and GIS. So the normal products which are used in substation, data centers or, for example, refineries, they are highly power intensive applications. So normally for high power intensive applications, the connections would be either at like 220 kV or 400 kV, and there they would be requiring a lot of transmission products as an input to the industry. So that is where is our play.
And this is the last question, sir. How is the market outside India, in the sense, how is the Southeast market, Asia market looking like, and do we have an opportunity to participate in those markets? And the related question is there any export which can happen from the Indian market in the near future? Yeah.
So if you really look at our order portfolio, I think constantly, if I'm not mistaken, our order portfolio consists of about 30% or slightly more than 30% as the order composition which comes from the export market. In these smaller countries, the traction of renewable has just started and it's not like great. But consistently, those countries are also investing in terms of upgrading their transmission infrastructure. So that's a stable market, or I would say slightly growing market, which is there. And of course, with our endeavor is to get qualified Indian factories for more and more export geographies. So that's a constant effort which we keep on doing in most of the geographies.
Understood. Thank you, and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Raj Rishi, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, Raj.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, for the HVDC project, I believe you have competition from Hitachi, Siemens, etc. So how do you place yourself in terms of the offering versus your competitors?
So Raj, if I compare ourselves, for example, in the market today, at least in the Indian market, I would rate ourselves as in the number of installed base, we are the second largest player in the country. And as far as the offerings are concerned, our offering is as good as any of our competitors' offering, whether it is Hitachi or whether it is Siemens.
Okay. Okay. And a lot of restructuring is happening at a parent level. So how will that affect this particular company?
So this restructuring which is happening is basically that I think you would have seen G globally. So earlier we were a conglomerate of three companies, like not companies but three businesses, which was healthcare, aviation, and the power business. So ultimately, what's happening from 1st January 2023, healthcare has become a separate company, standalone on its own. It is expected by the end of this year, aviation and the power portfolio, which is called Vernova, will be again standalone companies. Apart from that, we don't expect anything because our portfolio and our technologies and everything remain in the same basket.
Okay. Okay. So there was some talk about GE moving away from fossil fuel, etc. So in your company, there is no reason for the parent to change hands, right?
No. We are purely on the grid side, so we have no role to play in fossil fuel technologies and things like that.
Okay. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Raj.
Thanks.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Aniket Mittal from SBI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. So the first question is just coming back to the Leh project. Typically, see, the HVDC products for us have been a good margin business. And, you know, the project in Leh that's coming up is also an RTM one, wherein the developer that's building in can easily make cost escalations over there. Unlike, let's say, Bhadla-Fatehpur that's coming in, that would be on a TBCB basis. So you did highlight on the risk part that you saw and you've decided to participate. If you could just elaborate a bit more on that, then that would be helpful.
Aniket, thanks for the questions. But if you really look at even the transmission normal projects which come on TBCB route, in these cases also, for example, there are standard transformers, reactors, and other product as well, where you have the risk of price escalations and things like that. So mostly the developers who are participating in these projects, they know how to manage those risks. So I think I will leave it to the developers how do they manage those risks. But I don't see any challenge in participating in a TBCB project for HVDC from an OEM perspective.
But given that this is an RTM and I could assume, and like I said, you know, typically we've paid good margins when this business, and you know, some of that benefit also trickles down into operating leverage. Just wanted to get a bit more clarity on what's made us opt out over here.
So, as I said, that the tenders have not yet come in, so we have not said that we have opted out. We have just said that, okay, we have, as of today, we have not participated in the FEED study because, you know, the FEED study will require the specifications to be formed, etc. But we always have a right, because once the tenders come out, then we can always participate in those tenders, because those tenders, based on the qualification requirement, we do qualify. So I have not said at any point of time that we are not going to participate in Leh Ladakh.
Okay, fair. The second question was on the gross margins front. So if I look at the gross margins this quarter, they've come down sequentially a fair bit. If you could highlight a bit on that, and from an, let's say, FY24 perspective, what is the steady state gross margins that we can build in?
Yeah. So Aniket, this is Sushil. Right, Q4 gross margin was around 26.5%, and this was impacted by two, three factors. First was inflation on the electronic parts, mainly semiconductor that we use for our one of our businesses. And in a couple of projects, some customers applied liquidated damages, which we believe is we can contest, and we'll contest these liquidated damages with the customer. But on a conservative, we have made reserve or a charge in the P&L for the quarter. And the third is the mix of projects that were traded in this quarter. As you're aware that last year we took commodity price inflation impact on many of the projects. And some of these projects have become now low margin and are getting traded in the current period. Overall, if I put these three factors, there was an impact of around 250 million INR. However, if you look at the full year number, we achieved around 29% of gross margin, significantly improving from 22.6% in the earlier financial year. And this is in line with where we had called out a number on gross margin for the current financial year. On the question around the next financial year, well, I'll not give a guidance, but we'll say that our endeavor is always to improve the margin from here on, considering all the efforts, whether it is through mix of project or better pricing and efficiency or productivity, we'll take endeavor to improve it further.
Okay, fair. So fair, just for the 250 million, I think roughly we're at that 30% gross margin mark for this quarter as well.
Yes, but I'll request that let's look at the entire year, and I'll not call these out as exceptional because these are the business-related expenses. And technically, if you would like to adjust for a comparison, fine, but overall 29% for the financial year, which we will endeavor to improve.
The other question was just to understand on the addressable market. I think you did mention that that stands at close to 25,000 crores for us for this year. What was it, let's say, last year? What's it this year, and how do you see it growing, let's say, over the next 2 years?
So I think the next year, probably one of the factors what could be there is that the last quarter would be seeing the general elections also happening. So probably we like to see that where do we land in terms of the next year market scenario, because like the last quarter has a lot of a lot of projects which get divided between January to March. I think apart from that, but looking into the growth story of India in terms of renewable and in terms of requirement of transmission, we are pretty confident that the market is going to grow maybe at a pace which will be like about excluding HVDC, might be growing at a pace of close to about 7 to 10% every year.
Thank you. Aniket, I'll request to join the queue again for a follow-up question. A request to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next follow-up question is from the line of Shivdeep Mitra from Nuvama Wealth. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity once again. So, like you gave us a sense on the gross margin part, I just wanted to get a sense that if I am to look at, let's say, the next 2 to 3 year scenario, on a normalized basis, is there any target range of, let's say, EBITDA margins that you would be, shooting for?
Shivani, we don't give forward-looking guidance on a specific number target in these investor calls. But as I said, Sandeep talked about endeavor for increasing the orders. I talked about endeavor for increasing the gross margin. Further improvement in the cost structure. So these are the measures that will take to improve profitability, but I'll kind of refrain from giving a number target.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next follow-up question is from the line of Aniket Mittal from SBI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
So I just had one question. So you mentioned that apart from the utility side, you're also working on data centers and refinery.
Yeah, sorry, Aniket. Can you repeat the question?
I said, apart from the utility side, you're also working on data centers and refinery. How large would that be, let's say, of your order book and revenue, the ex-utilities business?
So data center market is probably the order intake what we have today is not a very large part. We have few orders of GIS and automation which we have taken, but not a very large part.
And the same would be for refineries, but
Refineries and all, yes, we have been able to, at least not in the last year, but prior to that year, we have had a substantial order intake. So that also depends upon the kind of investments which are coming from the refinery. Like, for example, when the government directive came for BS6, most of the refineries went for expansion, and then we took a large part of that market. So, for example, last year we had a large order from Reliance Industries as well. So, depends upon the market which is available. But I would say that in the oil and gas market, we have had some good successes in the past.
How much would the two be of your current order book, the two segments?
So it would be close to maybe about 7 to 8% of the overall order intake what we have.
Okay.
Backlog.
Okay, that's helpful. That's it from my side.
Thanks, Anil.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I will now hand the conference over to Ms. Kanvi Gupta for closing comments.
Thank you all for GTND India Limited earnings call. We hope the insights provided by our speakers have been informative and valuable to you. We value the trust and support of our investors and analysts, and we remain committed to maintaining transparent communication and fostering strong relationships. If you have any further questions or require any additional information, please do not hesitate to reach out to me or communications leader Anshul Madan. The mail ID is available at our company website. Once again, thank you for your participation in today's call.
Thank you very much. On behalf of GE T&D India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect. Thank you.